The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from Job, chapter 38. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, 'Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew 14, 22 to 33. The sermon title is Walking on Water with Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I wonder if any of you know what high school I attended. I know at least one person knows. I graduated from Cupertino High School, class of 1975. Now you know how old I am, too. My parents moved in 1960 from San Francisco to the far western edge of the city of San Jose, and then in 1973, they moved about a mile west to inside the Cupertino High School district. So our family really, we're really Cupertino people. In those days, Cupertino was a sleepy suburb with no notable industries besides the many orchards, the Mariani fruit drying plant. Do you remember Mariani dried fruit? The R. Calley and Brothers feed mill, the Permanetti and Voss cement quarries. I know somebody here knows about those, and a couple of nurseries. And most of that's still there. The town of Cupertino, which is today the home of Apple Computer and many other high-tech industries, was named after someone on the official list of saints in the Roman Catholic Church. You know, we have a lot of those place names in California. But this one's very interesting. He was called Joseph of Cupertino. He was a real person, a Franciscan friar in Italy in the 17th century. His primary claim to fame was the alleged ability to levitate and fly around a room during periods of mystical ecstasy, kind of like Mary Poppins. I'm serious. The list of saints, that's what they believe about him. Now, it's easy for us Protestants to make fun of the story about Joseph of Cupertino, but we need to realize that it was based on the Catholic belief that those persons closest to Jesus could do the same things that he did. Well, you know, Jesus, he not only levitated into heaven and he walked through closed doors, he also walked on water. He really did. Although Joseph of Cupertino really didn't float around the world, the room like Mary Poppins, it was not completely impossible if Jesus had given him the power to do so. Our gospel lesson this morning is the famous story about Jesus walking on the water. Although this feat was impressive, Jesus did not walk on water to make a show of his power. He walked on water because the disciples' plans went awry. And you catch this in the beginning of the text. The plan was the disciples were supposed to take the boat to the other side of the lake. Jesus was going to spend some time in prayer that evening. And then he would walk along the shore, around the shore, and meet them on the other side in the morning. Well, this plan got waylaid because about the time the disciples' boat got in the middle of the lake, the wind changed direction. In those days, Boats had very limited capability for sailing against the wind. Mostly, if the wind was against you, the sailors had to stow the sail and then row. Without long oars, like the Romans had in their galleys, this could take a very long time. And with a strong headwind, which is what they were facing according to the text, any progress was impossible. So in that case, it was just better, and they knew that, to just drop anchor and sit out the wind. Those of you who row understand the predicament. So there were the disciples in the middle of the night, in the middle of the lake, going nowhere. And they were getting tired and irritable and maybe a little afraid. They knew they were going to miss their appointed meeting place and time with Jesus. The sun would rise in the morning, and Jesus would look across the lake, and there they were, still in the middle of the lake. Or worse, the wind could be a harbinger of a storm, and that could lead to a lot worse things, maybe shipwreck, damage, and the worry of all a sailor, possibility of death by drowning. Now, just about the time they were ready to give up and head back with the wind to their starting point, they heard a voice out on the lake, out there. "Hey, guys, what's up?" Well, they looked across the stern of their boat. In the moonlight, on the water, they saw a shadowy figure approaching them. On the water. Now, the moon makes everything look gray. If you've ever been out in the wilderness, away from city lights, because those change the color of things, all the colors go away, and all you see is gray and black and white. So it looked like a ghost was approaching them, and they believed in ghosts. If you've seen the movies in the Pirate of Caribbean series, you can imagine what they maybe thought they saw out there. There are stories about ghosts in the Bible, such as Samuel's ghost in 1 Samuel 28. So a ghost was a reasonable conclusion over what they saw, or at least what they thought they saw. Though Jesus didn't want them to get hurt, or start jumping out of the boat. So he yelled, "Hey guys, it's me, Jesus. Don't be afraid." Now this was not very reassuring because Jesus was still too far away for them to see him clearly. I'm guessing if you look at how the Sea of Galilee, how it's laid out, its distances, he could have been up to a half mile away, since sound does carry well over water. Peter then came up with a brilliant idea. He figured that a ghost would not have the power to make somebody else walk on water. That's a miracle. Only Jesus could do that. So as a test of the ghost, Peter asked Jesus to give him the ability to walk on water. And Jesus said, "Come." Now, only Peter had the brains to think of a test that made himself the guinea pig. Think about it. What if this doesn't work? You know, if Peter was smart, he would have asked Jesus to make John walk on the water, right? There is little wonder that Jesus kept calling his disciples, who would become his 12 apostles, little children. So Peter, not the brightest bulb in the region of Galilee, got out and started walking on the water. Now, just a couple of feet would have been enough for me and I would have gotten right back into the boat. But no, Peter had to walk all the way, maybe a half mile, to Jesus to see whether it was really Jesus or not. When Peter came within a few yards of Jesus, he could see that it was indeed Jesus, their friend, their teacher, the human Jesus they all knew, not a ghost. Oh, what a relief, he thought. And then the whole test thing went away, and he began thinking. Something popped into Peter's head. He thought, Jesus has been training us in theology. God is in heaven. Humans are on earth. Jesus is on earth, therefore he's human. But wait, if he's human, how are we walking on water? Now, Peter was doing just fine until he started asking philosophical questions about God being in heaven and humans on earth. He should have just stayed with Jesus' words. When he then looked at the high winds, he doubted, began to doubt, that Jesus had divine powers, and there he went down into the drink. Fortunately, Jesus was right there to catch Peter as he was going down. And he grabbed him and said to him, "My, what little faith you have. Why did you doubt me?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. Then all the disciples, everybody in the boat, got down on their knees and prostrated themselves before him. "Truly, you are the Son of God." So far, the story. So the question that this story poses to you is, do you believe that Jesus was the true Son of God with all the powers of the Godhead? Now, if you believe that Jesus was truly God, then he could not only walk on water, but he also could do any miracle that he wanted to. If he was God, then this story is true. If he was not God, then the story is a myth or a lie. Since the 17th century, many people in Western societies, including some that call themselves Christians, have doubted or denied the miracles of Jesus. This began with a group of men in England known as deists. Now, as you may know, one of our presidents, very early on, Thomas Jefferson, was a deist. And that meant he did not believe this story. One of the deist arguments was that Jesus couldn't walk on water because that would break the laws of physics. And Jesus never broke any laws. I'm serious. That's one of their chief arguments. You can't break the laws of physics. Now, more intelligent philosophers into the late 18th and 19th century, like David Hume and Immanuel Kant, pointed out that the laws of nature, quote, "the laws of nature are just the way nature normally works, and from which, because that's how it normally works, people erroneously conclude that there are laws of nature." But where are those laws written? So these are the arguments of secular philosophers against the deists. So this means that an intelligent person cannot rule out all miracles in principle, but each must be carefully judged on a case-by-case basis. Now, philosophers have known this for over 200 years, if you read their stuff, which I have done. But I have yet to meet a liberal Protestant theologian who believes in the miracles of Jesus. Most of them deny them all. The miracles of Jesus testify to his divine nature, that is, that he is God. The disciples witnessed this in his walking on water and in many other cases throughout his earthly ministry. That's how people knew that he was God. And they believed in Jesus' divine nature, but they also knew he was human. That was pretty obvious. And this is what led Peter to doubt when he was out on the lake with Jesus. So, is he human or is he divine? And if he's human, well, then we're both drowning. But they didn't drown. In the creeds, Christians confess that Jesus is both divine and human. The Athanasian Creed states that if you don't believe that he's both divine and human, you are not a Christian, and you will not be saved. So then the question comes again to you personally. Do you believe that Jesus was the true Son of God with all the powers of the Godhead? If he was, then he most certainly will raise you and your loved ones on the last day, just as he has promised that he will do, and he will bring all believers to their heavenly home. In Jesus' name, amen.